Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Tonight we are doing a preview for the Champions Classic game to kick off the season, the Kansas Jayhawks against the Duke Blue Devils. You know, it's actually been a really busy week for us over here at the Rock Chalk Podcast. This is our third episode of the week, and we're recording this on Monday night. To help me talk about this Duke team and kind of preview this game, I have JD King from Duke Basketball Report. That's the SB Nation site that covers the Duke Blue Devils. JD, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. So it is still a little weird for me that this game is the absolute first one of the season. I kind of want to get your thoughts on that just kind of to start. Do you like the fact that we have such a big matchup right at the beginning of the season, or would you rather go back to where we had one or two kind of warm-up games of actual games as opposed to just the exhibitions?
Well, this year is a little weird in the ACC because of the ACC network, and pretty much everybody else in the conference is starting with the conference game. So I'd actually rather play a non-conference game right out of the chute. But everybody else is going to have to play, and getting a conference win or loss tomorrow night.
I knew that they did that with football. I didn't realize they were doing the exact same thing with basketball. So, yeah, I mean, in your case, this is definitely preferable to playing in conference already. That's just really, really strange. I'm not sure why the ACC is doing that kind of crap.
Well, it's just, it's because it's the first year and they want to build some excitement and some buzz. But it is kind of weird. And, it's just going to be a strange way to start the season. So, all in all, I'm happy to start it with you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can understand that. I know, especially with this Kansas team, there's a lot of questions about how guys are going to kind of fit on the floor at the same time. Kansas has three big men who probably really are just well-suited to be fives and not necessarily play at the four. And so if they're going to go big, you kind of have to wonder how that spacing is going to work. Does Duke have any kind of issues like that in terms of guys that could potentially use a couple games under their belts to really get all that ironed out, or are they pretty set?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how two of the freshman workouts, all of them, of course, but in particular, Vernon Carey and Matthew Hurt, because they're last year we had such a different team, and this year Carey is a big guy, but he's going to have to deal with guys that are his size or bigger, and I just don't know yet. I think he's going to be a good player, but you don't know freshmen how they're going to do in their first couple of games. That's an issue to me. And Hurt's a really skilled guy, but he's very thin. And that's going to be potentially an issue, too. I'm concerned about foul trouble in the front court. Javon Delarie is back, and he's a big enough guy and strong enough guy. As long as he stays out of foul trouble, it would be very helpful. He's not much of an offensive player, but he's a really good defensive player. And I thought by the time he played Michigan State last year, he'd become a really good player, too. He's a really, really sharp role player for Duke. The other positions, obviously Trey Jones is back. And I think a lot of people don't realize how good Trey Jones is with Jordan Goldwire. Those guys they're both just pit bulls on defense. It's fun to watch them play together because they can just take a team apart. They're really good. So you also have Wendell Moore, who's also a very useful defender. He's sort of a jack-of-all-trades player. But he's advanced for a freshman defender. So, the three of those guys are all, I think, a great basis to work the defense around.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, Duke always has some really good freshmen coming in. Obviously, this year's crop isn't quite as good as last year's crop when you have Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, and Cam Reddish. The three guys you have this year aren't really, I think, going to – or I guess it's four, actually, freshmen this year are going to play significant roles, but they're not going to be quite as prolific, especially early. The guy who I think stands out would be Matthew Hurt because, he was being recruited very heavily by Kansas as well. Kansas was kind of hoping that he would come and kind of anchor that four position for the Jayhawks. I want to go ahead and jump in kind of early to matchups and kind of talking about this, because I think that's where the most interesting matchup is going to be, is whoever guards Matthew Hurt out at the four. Is that kind of where you're looking at where this game is probably going to be decided as to how well Kansas can can guard that position, or are there other matchups that you think are going to stick out pretty big as well?
I think it's an interesting matchups, because no matter how you look at it, I mean, I have trouble saying his name.
Udoka Azubuike?
Yeah, I can't have a hard time saying it, but he's such a big guy. And for anybody to guard him, much less a freshman, is going to be tough. And I'm concerned that's going to be a major issue. Delaria could probably do okay, but he gives up 40 pounds to him. You know, I mean, he's just a huge guy. So I think Duke can probably match up pretty well with D'Souza, with a couple of, you know, even possibly Jack White could guard him reasonably well. He's not as big, but he's a really good defender, and he's a senior. He knows what he's doing. He's more athletic than people realize. Jack White actually has like a 40-inch vertical. I mean, he's a good athlete. So he could get some time and probably do pretty well with him. But it concerns me that, you know, defending your guys. But the other thing I think that a lot of people don't realize is that Carey actually came up in basketball as a perimeter player and didn't really start playing inside until he got to Duke. He's really not an overly experienced inside player, but he's a really good perimeter shooter. And if it's, you know, I'm wondering if they decide to just let him go ahead and start popping and have, you know, see if you guys follow him outside, because that changes things a lot if he does that. Obviously, Hurt can do that too. My only concern about Hurt is just that he's still really thin, and that's not the case for your team. I mean, your big guys are all big, so that's a matchup problem for us.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I'm kind of curious, because I'm looking at things like KenPom, where, you know, they have Kansas ranked as number 10, you know, and they have Duke ranked as number 4, and I'm having a hard time kind of reconciling how Kansas is that far down based off of, you know, kind of what we know they have returning, as opposed to teams like Duke, where they have very talented guys, but it's a lot of freshmen. Yeah. There's a lot of, I think, extra projection. You have to go into what they're actually going to be. And I'm finding it kind of strange that, you know, kind of that ranking disparity. And then also the fact that, you know, Duke is now is a 4-point or a 4-point favorite in KenPom. And the line opened up, you know, at 2.5 for Duke. What do you think it is that's causing Duke to be ranked so much higher than the Jayhawks, especially by the advanced stats? Is it simply something like with the fact you guys have Coach K, or is there more to it that I'm just missing?
Well, I don't think this shows up in the statistics or anything, but this is something that I became aware of at a certain point and realized that it's a huge advantage for Duke. And it's just that, and it may be different this year because the team has some really important players to incorporate, but generally speaking, Duke gets more done in a day than most teams do. And it's just that it's so tightly organized. And so Krzyzewski, he has a lot of talents that people aren't really aware of because you don't see those things, but he's a phenomenal guy for time management. I mean, Duke comes into the beginning of the season ready to play every year, and we're always ahead of most people in December. And then, you know, in January and February, I think things even out some. But it's really hard to beat Duke early because they're ahead of the game just because he's so good at it. I mean, he's so good at time management. And he's also really good at psychology. And somebody said at one point that Duke doesn't need a sports psychologist. They already have the best one. There's a lot of truth to that with him. He's able to bring out the best in people in more than just a normal coach speak kind of a way. He gets into people's heads and gets them to do things that they wouldn't normally be able to do. You saw with the Olympic team. I mean, every time he coached the Olympic team, the year after, a bunch of those guys had career years because they had work with him. He's just a phenomenal communicator, and his time management skills are off the chart. So that's an advantage that a lot of people don't realize that Duke has early every year. I don't know if it's going to be enough this time, just because I think you guys have such an advantage size-wise and experience-wise that it may not do it, but that will still be there to some extent whether you win the game or not. But it's something that just Duke does exceptionally well. It doesn't show up, you know, anywhere in stats or anything, but it's always a factor in early games.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see that in some cases, but like you're talking about, I mean, there just appears to be such a big disparity in terms of size between Kansas and Duke. and then experience between Kansas and Duke. And I mean, maybe you can kind of speak to some of the guys that are coming back for Duke, because I'll be honest, I'm not that familiar with most of the roster. Like you hear about the highly talented recruits, but in the most cases, at places like Duke and Kentucky, if a guy is back there for 3 or 4 years, he's not usually a very I guess established rotation player. He's more of a role player that you don't necessarily hear so much about. So who of the guys that are coming back are you expecting to be big contributors, and are you expecting to kind of to really be anchoring this team against the Jayhawks?
Well, I would start with obviously Trey Jones. I mean, he's a phenomenal defender. I watched him last year. He got hurt in the Syracuse game last year at Duke. And before he got hurt, I think in the first 10 minutes he had 4 steals and tipped a bunch of balls, had a couple of blocks. I mean, he was just off the charts. He was everywhere. And Duke was, I think it was something, I don't remember the score, but when he got hurt, Duke was up something like 20-5 or something, and they lost the game because they lost their point guard. He's really one of the better defenders Duke's had, and that, when you get into it, that includes, like, this might be before your time, but Billy King, who was just a phenomenal defender. Bobby Hurley was a great defender. Shane Battier was a great defender. He's in that class. I mean, he's that good a defender. He's really, really good. And the other kid, Jordan Goldwire, has come on. If you want to see something really incredible, go back, look up the Duke comeback at Louisville last year and watch what the two of those guys did to the Louisville backcourt, because that was when they started to use them together. And it was sort of a desperation move. They were just trying to press to get back into the game. And Louisville just fell apart. I mean, they put so much pressure on their guards. They couldn't move the ball, and they came back from, I forget what it was, 25 down in the last 10 minutes of the game, and it was because of those two guys. Primarily, they were the main guys that turned it around. So I think that those two guys are really my favorite part of the team in a lot of ways, is just watching them press. I don't know if they'll start together or not, but when they're in the game together, watch them, because it's really fun to watch. It might not be fun as an opponent, but just as a basketball fan, watching him is something else. Jack White is 6'7", and he's strong. He's not huge, but he's strong, and he's more athletic than people realize. And he's a really good rebounder. He's a role player, but he's a good role player. And he was playing really well last year, and for whatever reason, he got into a funk and just couldn't hit a three-pointer. And that had been a big part of his game, and he just lost. He lost confidence and went for, like, I think he missed something like 40 in a row or something. He just couldn't do it. And that was weird because he'd been pretty solid up to that point. But he can shoot, he can rebound, and he's a good defender. He's a better player than you would think by looking at his stats. Javon Delaurier is, you know, solid. He's before Zion showed up, Krzyzewski said he was the best athlete on the team, and I think that was probably true. I mean, the guy's he's a really good run-jump athlete, and he's become a pretty smart basketball player. He had a tendency up till last year to pick up fouls in bunches. And if he does that, it's a big problem. But otherwise, he's a very reliable player. He's a senior, and so is Jack White. They both become really, really good players. I don't think you'll see Justin Robinson, but he's a graduate student. He's been at Duke. He's David Robinson's son. And he's about 6'10 now, and he's a really good three-point shooter. He's really accurate. In terms of the Alex O'Connell is a thin guard, but he can shoot. He's a surprising player at times. He can do things that will. He hasn't really established a great role, but he's in the rotation, and he'll start at some point this year. Depending on how well he does, he may move into the starting lineup at some point. He's a better player than just looking at his stats, you would think he is. I'm trying to think who else is. Those are the primary guys you'll probably see. And then, of course, the freshman. Vernon Carey in his first game looked really rattled. He didn't play with all the confidence in the first exhibition game. Played better in the second one. Matthew Hurd, obviously, is a pretty sophisticated player. He's smart. He's a really intelligent player. And Cassius Stanley, I was really surprised by this. I didn't expect this to ever happen, but he broke Zion's vertical, which kind of stunned people. he hasn't figured out yet that he's a physically dominant player all the time. But he will eventually. He'll figure out that he can jump over most people. So, and Wendell Moore is he's just solid. He's just an all-around. I don't know if you remember, this isn't a great comparison. Remember Chris Carriwell when he played at Duke?
I think so.
He's somewhat, it's not an exact comparison, but he just, he could play, if you needed to, you could put Carriwell at point guard or center. He could do whatever you needed him to do. You wouldn't be able to put Moore at center, but you could put him in the other position he could play. Carriwell actually defended Tim Duncan at one point and did it really well. He's 6'6". But Moore's kind of like that he's really versatile and he's skilled enough to do just about anything on the court. He's not going to be in the post a lot. Anything else he can do. And I think all the freshmen have to really get their legs under him, and that could be a problem too. So I think they were all a little bit nervous in the exhibition games.
Yeah. So, okay. So with that rundown of Duke, I do want to kind of talk a little bit about the matchups and kind of what we can expect from this game. But before we do that, mm-hmm. I need to throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. And we're back. Sure. Okay. So talking about this particular matchup, like I think that this game is going to be a game of matchups where we're talking about individual players and how they, because we have a lot of guys that I think match up one-on-one really well, have very similar pieces from both of these teams. And of course, it starts up top with probably the two leaders of their respective teams, two guys that will be fighting for player of the year honors in Devon Dotson and then Trey Jones. That particular matchup, I'm expecting them to be matched up on each other all night long, defending each other, trying to score or facilitate over each other. How do you see that particular matchup going, and how worried are you with what Devon Dotson is able to do, especially since he's going to have all of those weapons, specifically like Udoka Azubuike down low? Are you worried about how that matchup's going to go? And ultimately, do you think that that's going to be one of the most important matchups in deciding how this game goes?
Well, I think point guard is always one of the most important matchups. And I know that he's really good. It's just the thing with Jones is he's so good defensively that's like your least concern. I mean, he'll get his job done as much as anybody. He's just a really, really good defender. Did you watch him much last year? He did some things last year that I really haven't seen from a point guard to do athletically. I mean, it's not that he's a phenomenal athlete, but like neither was Bobby Hurley, neither was Tommy Amick, neither was Chris Duhon. They were all really good defensive guards. But he does things. He attacks in a way that I've never really seen at Duke. Maybe Gary Payton or somebody like that maybe did. But he just goes after people, and he's just relentless. He's the least of my worries. And then when you come out, you can take him out and put Goldwire and Pritzman together, and you've got there's not really a drop off. I mean, Goldwire has become just about as good as Jones is. They're both just tremendous defenders. So I'm not. I think actually Duke's best strategy might be just to press the ball so much on the perimeter that it just doesn't have a chance to get in very much. I mean, their defense could be that good. Once it's inside and once, it gets to the other guys, it's a different story because I don't know. Hurt may outscore his guy, but he may not be able to stop him either. Carey, I think, is a big kid who doesn't necessarily all the time. He hasn't gone up against a guy like, I still have trouble saying his name, Azubuike.
Yeah.
Azubuike. He hasn't gone up against a guy with that kind of size. I mean, Azubuike is almost, Zion big. I mean, it's just, he's unusual, and Carey is like down from 270 to 250. But in the exhibition games, he at times seemed almost kind of, he admitted to being nervous. I don't want to say he was timid, but he just didn't seem like he was sure he belonged yet. And that's my biggest concern. But I think I know Dotson's a really good player, but I think Jones can. The only guy that really gave Jones really had a superior game to Jones last year was the kid at Michigan State, Cassius Winston. And Cassius Winston is just basically a basketball genius. I mean, that guy's something else. But he was a junior and Jones was a freshman, I mean, there's always a trade-off somewhere. But no, I'm not too concerned about the backcourt matchup. I'm much more concerned about the frontcourt.
You know, it's actually kind of funny you brought up Cassius Winston, because Devon Dotson's first game, you know, was a breakout game against Cassius Winston straight up last year. You know, and he definitely – right. He, as a freshman, came in, locked down Cassius Winston, forced him to turn it over. He only shot 3 of 10 from the floor. Like, that was Dotson's first game as a Jayhawk. That was his calling card last year. You know, he was really good for the leader, shot a decent clip from three, but defense was his calling card. Kansas also has another fantastic defense guy out on the perimeter in Marcus Garrett, who had problems shooting the three, was a liability out on offense quite a bit, but seems to have improved his shot over the last year. And I'm expecting his defensive contributions to be enough. You know, that he's going to see big time on the floor. I mean, you know, you're talking about how you're not necessarily worried about Jones, but kind of on the flip side, I think most Kansas fans are also kind of in the same boat that, you know, Devon Dotson is a lockdown defender. He is really good at facilitating. He can create his own shot. He can do all kinds of stuff. And he is one of probably the three front runners. He's probably one of, like, if you pulled the top 10 guys, player of the year, Devon Dotson is definitely on that list. Udoka Azubuike is definitely on that list, and they both do it in completely different ways. What I'm wondering, I think ultimately it's going to come down to the four spot is going to be the most important matchup, because like you're saying, Matthew Hurt is potentially going to get his, especially if it's Silvio De Souza on the floor trying to play the four, or even David McCormick. David McCormick and Udoka Azubuike seem to play better together on the floor than when Silvio De Souza is on the floor. But, you know, Kansas also has quite a few big guards that can play the four in a small ball kind of lineup, which would give up a little height against a guy like Hurt, but would be able to, you know, defend against him out on the perimeter. And, you know, as long as it doesn't become a 2-on-1 on Doak, he's like able to get in front of a guy enough, Doak can come over and clean up if he's trying to drive on his man. And so I think that's really is going to be, can Kansas keep someone in front of Hurt when he's playing the four, or whoever the four happens to be on that one, and get the kind of defensive effort that they need, and then be able to then, you know, if they've got two big guys, you know, they can really bully guys down low, because they're going to have two very large guys who are probably bigger than 90% of the players that they're going to go up against in terms of both four and five. Like, Kansas could very well have the two biggest players on the court at the same time for a vast majority of the game, and is going to be absolutely huge for them on offense. The question is then going to be on defense, can they get it to work right, and can the offense keep the spacing? So I think if I have to pick one matchup, is going to be that particular matchup. How does Duke's four match up with Kansas's four, and can Kansas get the offensive spacing that they need and to defend the four? Because I'm not sure who Kansas is going to play if they're playing big that can guard the 3-point line. You know, the college game is moving the same way as the NBA game, where if you're playing the four, you have to be able to shoot the three. You have to be able to play out on the perimeter. I don't know. Kansas has two big guys that can play in such a way that four spot is going to be guarded correctly. So I think that's going to be the biggest key to the game. The question is going to be, can Duke take advantage of Kansas' shortcomings in those cases? Or is Kansas going to get such an advantage on the offensive end that they can give up a few points on the defensive end, you know, and try to instead just deny the ball with the absolutely fantastic backcourt that they have in terms of the defensive contributions there? So, I mean, do you agree that four spot is probably the most important matchup that we're going to see all night long?
Well, I'd like to be able to say for sure, but I'm not even entirely positive right now. It's not like Duke has a settled starting lineup. I'm sure that Hurt's going to start, and Jones will start. And other than that, anybody could start. I mean, honestly, it's at that point right now where things are so fluid that, you know, it's not at all clear who's going to be in the starting lineup. But, I mean, I expect Carey probably will be, but they might decide to go Delarie. It's such a fluid situation this early. And like you're saying, being the first game, it's really kind of weird to have this much uncertainty around a lineup right now. Who do you think is going to start for you guys?
So my guess, just knowing that Bill Self really likes to play his experienced guys, it's going to be Devon Dotson starting at the point. Marcus Garrett's probably going to start at the two. Ochai Agbaji is going to start at the three. The fourth probably going to be Silvio De Souza, and then the five will be Udoka Asbuke, which is going big to start with. But now that they have three big guys that they think can all play significant minutes, you know, I'm fully expecting them to at least try to get that going. Kansas's biggest advantage is going to be if they can get the big guys to get it worked out and have two of them on the floor at a time. Those will be able to bully a lot of teams. And so that's where they roster-wise have the biggest advantage. So it will definitely serve them well to try to get that going as early as possible against as tough competition as possible to make sure that that stands, stands up. But I also wouldn't be surprised if the game starts really poorly for them and Duke's able to go on like a 10-0 run in the first, 2-3 minutes. They could go small ball real quick to try to counteract that. And so, like, even though those guys are going to be starting, there's no guarantee that those guys are going to play the majority of minutes. I'm pretty sure Devon Dotson you can pencil in for about 35 minutes. Doak you can probably pencil in for about 25 just based off of his normal usage and the fact that they're rotating so many big guys. I'm expecting Ochai Agbaji to have a breakout year this year. He's actually the guy I think that could surprise a lot of people. The one thing that kind of shocked me, because CBS Sports put out their top 100 players list, or 101 players, and they had two Kansas guys in Devon Dotson and then Udoka Asbuke in the top 15. But I was really shocked that a guy like Ochai Agbaji didn't come in, even in the 80s or 90s of that list, because he absolutely broke out. He only played about half a season last year. He came on because of injury issues, but he completely broke out in those games, and by the end of the year was probably one of the three or four most reliable scorers for them, the most reliable guys, and it can really do a whole lot. And he looks to be a lot faster. He just absolutely phenomenal this year. If you told me that he ended up being Kansas's best player over the course of the season, I honestly would not be that shocked, because he is an absolutely phenomenal athlete. He looks absolutely fantastic, and I'm, expecting him to have a breakout year. And I think a lot of people are going to take that for granted that, it's Devon Dotson and Udoka Asbuke, and then everyone else is kind of just filling in around them. So he could have a breakout game here in a similar way that some of the some of the players last year did. It may not mean anything long run, but I would have to think that he's probably going to be one of the better players for Kansas this year. Like I said, Garrett is gonna lock down. That his main contribution is defense, but if he's not a black hole at all on offense, that opens up a lot of spacing wise for the Jayhawks. In terms of so I guess we're kind of at the point now of the episode where I think we've kind of gone through both of the lineups. I'm not sure. Before we get to predictions, though, was there any other particular topics you want to discuss or any other points that you think we need to kind of throw out there before we get to predictions?
No, I think basically it's going to come down to size and experience versus, I don't want to say speed necessarily, but, Duke's smaller and probably is quicker overall. But I think that your size and experience is going to be a major factor. It's going to be tough to overcome, especially in the first game. What I'm hoping to see is that Duke just comes out and plays well at every position and works well as a unit, because we just don't know that much about this team yet. They're very talented, and there are a lot of interchangeable parts, but we just don't know. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be really interesting. Actually, it's kind of good in a way to start with a tough game to see just where everybody is. And one of the things that Krzyzewski has said repeatedly is he's not scared to fail, because he learns a lot from it. So if they lose this game, even if they lose it by 30, they'll make good use of it.
Yeah, it's also one of those things, though, I don't know how much we actually about either of these teams, because, we saw it last year, Kansas beat Michigan State down quite a bit in the opening game of the Champions Classic, and if I remember correctly, the other game, I don't even remember, gosh, it's been a while. I should remember how the other game went, but the game between Duke and Kentucky, if I remember right, that was a big win that surprised a whole lot of people.
It was Zion's debut. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was Zion's coming out party. I thought it was a win, but to the end, like Duke kept that going forward because of Zion and RJ, you know, and RJ Barrett and all those guys really performed well. But even they had hiccups later in the year. But, you know, Kansas fell off quite a bit. I think Azubuike's injury had a lot to do with that. But, you know, they didn't fall off immediately after that. Like, we saw a lot changing from these teams, especially as they kind of settled in. You know, like, we could have a blowout from one of these teams and it not mean anything in a month because a lot of teams are still settling in. They're all trying to break in brand new pieces. You know, it's like, it's great, lots of great entertainment to have it this early, but it almost seems like the only real thing you could pull out of this is the entertainment value. You can get an early indication of how some guys might go, but if you make any grand pronunciations, what happens in this particular game, you're probably going to look like an idiot, you know, even just a month into the season.
No, I think that's probably fair. And, I think for all four teams, they're interesting things to look at. I mean, Michigan State is the team that when you play them early, that, I mean, I don't know if Izzo does it on purpose, but he just seems to rough his team up early. And then in February, they're always in pretty good shape as long as they don't have any critical injuries. But he doesn't mind his team getting beat up early in the season. He just seems to accept it. I've always admired what Krzyzewski does in terms of getting, you know, getting lessons out of bad losses. I mean, there've been games and Duke's just gotten killed over the years. And typically the next game they come out and you can tell that they're really focused. They've really looked at the film and they know what they did wrong and they're not going to do it again. I've admired Self as a coach for a long time. That guy's, I mean, he's an excellent coach. I've seen him at three different schools. We played him when he was at Tulsa, and I had forgotten, actually, I read about it this week, and I'd forgotten that he coached that team, but it was like 1999, and Duke just beat him senseless. But the next year, he was in the Elite Eight. I mean, he's an excellent coach. And I'm not as big a fan of Calipari, but his teams do get better during the course of the year. He does a really good job of taking young players and getting them to play together and get better over the course of the years. I mean, they're all four, you know, really extraordinary programs in their own way. It's a good field. It's fun to watch them.
Yeah, I mean, and even when one or two of these teams are down comparatively, you know, it's still always an interesting game to watch. Like, I definitely am glad that we have this type of event. I do think, though, sometimes people try to read a little too much into it this early in the year. Like most, you know, basketball season is a very long season, but similarly, just like in Major League Baseball, you know, people trying to make grand pronouncements after the first even month of the baseball season, that can come back and look absolutely horrible. You know, just look at a team like the Nationals this year who, you know, they ended up winning the World Series, but if you looked after the first month of baseball, they were one of the worst teams in the league at that point. So there's definitely a lot that we can still learn. You know, a lot that can still change after this, but it's definitely going to be an entertaining game. So, all right, I do want to go ahead and do predictions, but we ran a little bit longer than I thought we were going to on this segment. So I need to throw it to one more quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. And we're back. All right, we're going to finish up with our predictions for the game. So I want to let me know how you think this game is going to go. You can give me, you know, guys you think that are going to break out or, you know, overall flow of the game or really just whatever you want. How do you think the game's going to go? And then what do you think the final score is going to be?
Well, I think it's probably going to be more of a defensive game than people realize. And if it's a lot of transition basketball, that would probably favor Duke more, only because I think, you know, when you guys take your big guys, if you have to take your big guys out to run, then it works to our advantage. But I don't know that's going to happen. But I would say it's probably going to be a close game and say Duke 73, Kansas 70. But I say that with realizing, too, there's a reasonable chance that Duke's going to get a drubbing, only because, you know, the things that I mentioned, the size and you know, the fact that you guys are much more experienced. But I've learned over the years not to bet against Duke too much.
Yeah. So ultimately, what do you see the final score being?
73-70, and I'll take Duke.
Okay. I mean, that's completely reasonable. I do think that Kansas is going to, you know, establish their low post presence really early in this game. The question is going to be whether Duke is going to be able to get Udoka Azubuike in foul trouble on the defensive end. if they're able to do that, then Kansas is going to have to go small ball. But in a way, I think that might actually help them, especially when, you know, we're talking about four guys in terms of the four position that could really bruise Kansas a bit if they're having to play that with two big guys defensively. So I actually think that Kansas is going to spend a lot more time in a four guard lineup than most people are expecting them to. Bill Self definitely wants to win this game. He's going to do everything he can to get this early win to kind of set this team up. This is a team that is playing all for now because of the, you know, the whole NCAA notice of allegations and all of that. This is the most motivated team that he's had. I think we're going to see that early. He's going to push and do a lot of things he doesn't normally do. I wouldn't actually be shocked if, you know, if they are adamant about playing two big guys and it's just not working, they might go to a zone. And that is really saying something for a Bill Self team, because he absolutely hates the zone, considers it to be a gimmick, will only use it if he absolutely has to. But they might break a zone out in this game to give them a more of a chance to ease into using the two big guys and giving them an opportunity to have both of them on the floor at the same time. I do think Kansas definitely pulled this one out. I think that despite the fact that Trey Jones is such a good point guard, I just don't know that Duke has enough experienced guys that can be on the floor all at the same time in the backcourt to be able to handle the three-headed monster defensively that is Devon Dotson, Marcus Garrett, and Ochai Agbaji. I'm not expecting Kansas has several role players who could have huge breakout games, especially in their freshmen. But it's hard to kind of expect that, especially since Duke probably has a few of those guys as well. I honestly, though, think that the storyline is going to be dictated by who is able to get their main guys to get going as quickly as possible. And I think that Kansas, with their experience, is set up to get established a lot quicker in this game. I expect them to probably jump out to a little bit of an early lead, run into a few issues, Duke comes back. I expect them to trade the lead back and forth quite a bit. But this should be a close one at halftime, and I'm expecting it to come down to the wire. I do think Kansas will ultimately win. I think this is going to be a little bit more of an offensive game than a lot of people are expecting. Mm-hmm. I would go with Kansas probably about 87-84.
Two more things real quick. One was that you had a really good point about the zone, because Duke is not a proven three-point shooting team at this point. And if they, they may just be in real trouble against the zone, because they don't have that much established three-point shooting. I mean, it may turn out that they do have some guys that can do it. They just haven't established it yet. And the other thing I would suggest to you is, just if you get a chance, just for the pleasure of seeing something that's really cool, go back and watch the Louisville comeback and watch what Jones and Goldwire did to their guards, because it was amazing. I mean, those guys together are just dynamic. It's not something that a lot of people realize yet outside of our area, but they're just tremendous chemistry as defenders.
Yeah, so actually, I actually watched that comeback live, because I was up at the gym and was enjoying the fact that they were losing quite handily to Louisville at the time.
Yeah.
And then just was horrified to watch them with that huge comeback. I will say, though, I don't know that Louisville, their backcourt, was as strong as we're expecting to see from Kansas. But again, it's early. We could see all kinds of crazy stuff. Like I said, I'm not expecting Kansas to be up by a huge margin at any point in this game. I'm not expecting Duke to be up by a huge margin at all in this game. It's going to go back and forth. I think there will be times where, you know, the Duke backcourt is going to get the best of what Kansas does. What I expect to see, though, is a very, very back and forth, hard fought, well coached game and a big chess match between the two. It's perfectly reasonable for us to have different, thoughts on how the outcome is going to be. You know, it is such a close line. It's essentially a pick'em game. The line, I believe, shrunk actually down to 1.5 the last I looked, but it's kind of been fluctuating a little bit. So I'm not really sure where exactly it's going to end up, but it's really close and really hotly contested the rest of the way. So, all right, we will go ahead and leave it there.
We'll get a rematch.
That's definitely a really good shot at that. I expect both of these teams to go deep in the tournament this year. The question is just going to be, where would they match up in the bracket? So, all right. Well, we are just about out here, but before we go, I do want to ask, where can the people find you online if they want to get more information about this Duke team?
Sure. We're at DukeBasketballReport.com.
All right. Sounds great. So, JD, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't already, please go out wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those places, or really any of the other apps out there. You can find us online there. Just search for Rock Chalk Talk, and you can give us a rating, a review. You can subscribe to the podcast so you get every episode as soon as it comes out. If you do give us that rating review, please, 5 stars, nice comments would be absolutely great. If for whatever reason you're not able to do that, please just let us know what it is that we can be doing better so that maybe in the future we can get that kind of rating from you. We really do bring these podcasts to you guys to get you guys the information that you want and that you need, and do it for your guys. Anything we can do better, we definitely want to try to incorporate those suggestions. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, people you want to try to interview, anything like that, just contact us either by email at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com or over on Twitter at rockchalkpod. But that will do it for us tonight. JD, once again, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you guys next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.